In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear saints of God, tonight as we gather together, we gather for a very important reason. It's a celebration. A celebration that God's people have been observing for many, many years, because it's a very special event that took place this night. And I'm not yet even talking about the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about the Passover, on which occasion Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And as Christians, we might not realize it as much, but the Passover is a really big deal. It remembers all the years that Israel was left in bondage in Egypt, held as slaves to ruthless drivers and to Pharaoh himself. But Israel called on God. They cried out to him, and God saw their affliction, and he heard their cries. And so the Lord sent Moses to contend with Pharaoh, and he commanded him by the word of the Lord, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh hardened his heart and afflicted the people of Israel all the more. And, well, you know how the story goes. God took plague upon plague upon plague to Egypt, and Pharaoh would promise that if the plague relents, he would let the people go. And Pharaoh doesn't keep his word through all 10 plagues. And that's what leads us here tonight. At the Passover, God commands the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb and to place the blood of that lamb on the doorposts, so that the destroyer, the one who comes to kill the firstborn of Israel, would pass over that house. It was through this event that God provided Israel an escape from Egypt. Through the Red Sea, God saved his people, that God dealt compassionately with his people. He brought them salvation because God is faithful, and he hears the pleas of his people, and he keeps his promises. This event was so significant in the history of Israel, it becomes the action of God, which the people always hearken back to remember that God is a gracious God. Of course God hears our prayers. He saved us out of Egypt, didn't he? Of course God keeps his promises. He rescued us from Pharaoh, didn't he? Now, this isn't to say that Israel was always faithful and grateful. We know that they lost sight of these things in the wilderness. But even given that, this was an event that the people of Israel always remember about God and his kindness to his people. In fact, it was so important that the Lord himself commanded a remembrance be made about the Passover meal, so that families would gather together every year. They would sacrifice a lamb and they would eat unleavened bread. And here's the most important part. They would recite the account of God's salvific work to save his people to remember this event. Right from the pages, or from the scroll, as it were, the books of Moses, they would read what God has done. Now, people do this all the time. When some big event happens, they create traditions around remembering that event, which usually involve eating, and they recount the events for which they're gathered to remember. But this is different than that, because God actually commanded this commemoration. Exodus says, "It is a night to be observed for the Lord for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations." And this throughout Exodus is repeated over and over and over again. And it's not that they're just recounting the good old days. They're hearing the word of God and listening to the record of God who saved them. That literally, they would not exist if God had not saved them, or they would continue to exist in slavery. So it wasn't like they're listening to Aesop's fables, or that the family is gathering around to listen to the rendition of The Night Before Christmas. They are hearing the record of God saving them. As individuals, God saved them. That's why this night is a very important night. It is a night of celebration. So important, it might make you wonder, why don't we celebrate the Passover today? It is supposed to be an everlasting covenant. It's supposed to be remembered for all generations. So why don't we celebrate the Passover meal? Well, we do. Now, that would probably be offensive to hear for some within Judaism, maybe be a slap in the face to hear someone say that they're observing the Passover. But you see, there's something else going on in the Passover that not everyone sees. And here's the really shocking thing. The point wasn't just to save Israel out of Egypt. As big as that was incidental to what God is really doing. What God is doing in saving Israel out of Egypt is that he was saving the world. He wasn't redeeming one people, he was saving all people. You see, the reason Israel is saved from Egypt is because they are the great, great, great grand ancestors of Mary and Joseph, to whom an angel would speak about the birth of Jesus. When Israel is gathered year after year to celebrate the Passover, whether they realize it or not, they're celebrating God's saving the entire world from their sins in Jesus. And after all, it is his blood, the blood of the Lamb, that covers us. So what the Israelites did year after year, we do here on a regular basis. We gather together, we hear God's word read, and we listen to the account of salvation, of God saving us, and then we partake in the meal that Christ gave us the night of his betrayal. That's why we're here tonight. Our epistle lesson tonight was one of the shortest ever, but therein we heard maybe some of the most important things. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And what's the answer Paul expects to that? Yes! The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Yes! Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The cup of blessing was the name of a particular cup during the Passover meal that was raised at one point. So when Paul talks to the very first Christians in Corinth, he's not just talking about bread, and he's not just talking about a cup of wine, but herein Paul is saying that we're participating in the actual, real body and blood of Christ himself. And when we come up here and we partake in that body of Christ and that blood of Christ, there aren't many Christs that you all receive, but there is one Christ. And to partake in this meal is to express the unity that we have in him. How can we all partake of this meal of unity? All of us jointly sharing in the one body of Christ, and then be divided. The basis of our unity is that which we believe. It's that which Christ gives us in his holy word. This isn't a perfect world. We aren't a people without sin, and we aren't a congregation without failings and oversights. We are an imperfect people. But we're in this together. As one theologian said it, we are body and blooded together. And that's exactly why. That's why Jesus gives us this gift. Do you think Jesus gave us his body to eat and his blood to drink because we are a people who are already perfect? To people who don't have struggles, to people who don't sin, that on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the cup and he gave it to drink and he said, "This is given for you because you are so perfect." No, Christ gives his body and his blood as a sacrifice. To give his body and his blood at the Last Supper means he is going to die. And that he's going to die for sin. That he gives his body and his blood not as symbols, because it's impossible for a symbol to give you the forgiveness of sins. What Christ gives you when you come to the table is no symbol, it's real. It's his real body, it's his real blood given for the forgiveness of real sins. Never come to this table if you're not a sinner. It's a sinner's only meal. So that forgiveness would be yours. That it would be given to you. That this table is a place of distribution of the forgiveness of sins that you need so badly. And for that reason, Christ gives you his body to eat and his blood to drink for the forgiveness of all of your sins. That's what God was up to back in Egypt. He was saving Israel, to be sure. But for a particular reason, God was saving Israel because there would one day be a really important Israelite who would one day shed his blood upon a cross to win the forgiveness of sins. That's the blood that you drink. That's the body that you eat this day, because in so doing, Jesus makes a promise, not about a group of people, but that he makes a particular promise about you. That your sins are forgiven. Whatever the sin, whatever it may be, only he knows and you know, whatever it is forgiven. That's the promise issued by Christ himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.